Hello, and welcome to the Commander Theory Podcast. I'm Nick Beatman, and I'm here with my friend, Zach Mack.
Hello, theorists.
So today we're going to be going over some data that we cobbled together, and it's all about the relative, well, I guess, the tribes that you're sleeping on. The tribes whose members are more powerful than, like, the relative popularity of the tribe would suggest. And to do this, we're looking at two chunks of data, both from EDH Rec. And before I get into explaining what the data is and how we looked at it, I want to briefly talk about our Patreon. So if you head on over to patreon.com/commandertheory, you can support the show and get sweet benefits, including ad-free episodes, for as little as $1 a month. If you aren't ready to be a patron yet, you can help us out by rating or reviewing us wherever you get your podcasts. All right, now let's talk a bit about this data. So there are very many popular tribes. Tribal decks are, of course, decks that are focused around the synergies surrounding a particular creature type. And what we're looking at today is the tribes rank on EDH Rec. If you go to edhrec.com/tribes, you'll see many, many creature types listed out, and you'll see exactly how many decks people have built focusing on that theme. And what we're comparing that to is the sum of the EDH Rec ranking for the top 30 individual cards in each tribe. So, for example, the human tribe, if you sum up the EDH Rec score for the most popular 30 humans, you're going to get 11,590. And a smaller EDH Rec score is better because, of course, you know, Sol Ring or whatever is number one. But humans are the fifth most popular tribe according to EDH Rec. So you can see there's a slight disconnect there. Humans are the most powerful tribe if you based on the sum of the EDH Rec individual scores, but they're a little bit lower in that tribe ranking. So we're going to be really focusing on the outliers. So humans being number one by individual ranking versus number five by tribe ranking, that's not a huge disparity. But some of these tribes we're going to be looking at today are way off base. Like we've got several members of like the top five tribes, if you look at some of individual card rankings, that are not even, you know, in the top 30 tribes on EDH Rec. We really want to take a look and see, and especially we want to look at ones where the tribal rankings are lower than the individual card power level suggests, because this indicates that people aren't playing this tribe as a tribal deck nearly as often as they quote unquote should. So if you're interested in tribal decks, if you are trying to figure out what tribe might be fun to build around or like secretly powerful, this is the episode for you. And we are going to like be doing a little bit of analysis because I think there are some reasonable explanations for why certain creature types don't see a lot of tribal decks. But some of these are just like clearly underplayed. And so we'll be exploring them in more depth. So number one that we're going to start talking about is Druids. So based on the sum of EDH Rec scores or EDH Rec rankings for individual Druid cards, it is the third best tribe. Druids are just like extremely popular. There are a lot of powerful Druids that see play across a ton of decks. So you would expect that they would be relatively high in the tribal rankings. However, that is not the case. Druids are 38th in the EDH Rec tribe rankings, as opposed to, again, third in individual card power level by tribe. So big disparity there. Let's talk a bit about the Druid tribe. They do, in fact, have a supportive commander in Seton, Crows and Protector. Seton, Crows and Protector is green, green, green for a 2/2 Centaur Druid, and it says, Druids you control have tap, or rather, tap an untapped druid you control, add green to your mana pool. So it sort of adds like a mana generation ability to all your druids. And it's worth noting that Seton is mono green. The color identity of the best druids is overwhelmingly green. Out of the top 30, more than 20 of them are green. But let's talk a bit. So you'd think that like Seton and Seton tribal druids would be relatively popular, but that's not what we're seeing. So Zach, do you want to lead into some of the barriers to success for this tribe and like why we think druids might be underplayed?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the first big thing to talk about, and I think one of the things that probably, especially people who are maybe more casual who look at like the options when it comes to druids, see is that they see Seton as like the only commander, really, like the only mainly viable commander, and they go, oh, well, what do the druids do? And then they all make mana. Mm-hmm. So Seton isn't really like pushing the tribe in any direction. Like most of the best druids already are mana dorks. So just basically like the discount that you're getting that Seton provides is like not much better than just playing druids as normal. Like he does give them like pseudo haste, which is kind of cool, but like that's not very, and my guess is that's not very enticing to most people. So I think that's the first thing, is that just not a very like attractive primary commander if you were going to want to do something like this. So if you discount the mana dorks that are tapping for one mana and the druids outside of Seton's color identity, the like total EDH rec ranking of the decks still puts them in like 16th place. So like looking at this, like the numbers are still like very much on the side of like these should be played a little bit more, but like that little unsexy bit right there is probably like not good. And then the last bit is like Seton himself, this is something that I've noticed about just commanders in general. I mean, he's old. He's 20 years old at this point, which is kind of wild to say out loud, because I remember opening him in packs of cards. People just don't usually look back, especially in the age of perpetual hype. There's always something new being forced in front of your face, and it's not that many like Magic players that take the time to look back at the options that already exist. So let's say like in 5 years from now, people are going to be like looking at like Dina Soulsteeper as like a come up, you know, like a commander they didn't expect to like see out in the wild, when to like any of us like the listeners out there, you and me, Nick, like that's not that crazy. It was pretty recent. It was a pretty like popular card to talk about or to combo with. Like, so push that back 20 years and all of a sudden almost like hardly anyone remembers him, let alone is like going to try and build around him.
Yeah, I think I heard a stat that 57% of all commanders were printed in the last 5 years. Yeah. I definitely agree with what you say about just like the speed of releases of new commanders definitely deters people from looking back through the archives to see what's there. And also agree that like Seton is not the best tribal commander, because what you really want is like something that is synergistic with what druids are already doing, and they're already great at adding mana. That's not a problem for them. So he's not giving you a huge reason to build around this tribe.
Yeah. So I think what we're going to end up seeing happen is like sometime in the future, Wizards is going to come together and realize like, damn, there's a lot of druids and they don't have a home in commander, and give them a home in commander. Because it's not like we haven't seen legendary creatures that are druids. They just don't lean into the tribal. Like the last few months, we got like Halsin Emerald Archdruid, which is one of the choosers. But it just makes your tokens bears, you know, like that's not a very druidy thing to do. And every now and then when we do get like a legendary druid, they're usually something like a Faldorn, you know, like something that's like pushing in some like a nature mage that's pushing some direction, as opposed to like put all your druids into this deck or something like that. Imodi, Celebrant of Bounty, is like another one where, if you remember that from Commander Legends, it was a blue-green druid that gives your big spells cascade. So, yeah, it's just we haven't quite gotten to the point where like honestly, this is what Jasmine Boreal could have been, you know, when we got Jasmine Boreal of the Seven in the revamped Legends. Instead of it, can you imagine if instead of weird vanilla tribal we had gotten like a druid commander? Like,
yeah,
that would have been pretty good, especially in green white like she is. Like, that would have been almost perfect, you know. Like, you'd just be missing out on some of the Naya ones, but oops. So yeah, I think this is definitely something that is powerful if listeners want to build it, even though like the standout commander is pretty boring. You could also use one of the Kamals if you really wanted, because they're like decent mana sinks, but then like you're not exactly doing what
You don't have to use druids at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then it's not like, it just so happens that some druids are good in this deck because they tap for 3+ or something. Like, not so much that it's a druid tribal list. Mm-hmm. So, oops.
Well, I think it is good that at the very least we identified that there is an opportunity, you know, for wizards here to print a better druid tribal commander to sort of take advantage of all the infrastructure that is clearly in place.
Yeah.
But I think with that, we can move on to the next tribe.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this next one is Constructs. And if you look at the EDH tribe rankings, or the EDH rec tribe rankings, it is actually number 70. It is pretty far down there. But the in terms of like the sum of the individual card quality, it's actually not doing so bad. It's a respectable 20th place. So there are, but of course, I think it has a couple disadvantages. There is no explicitly supportive commander for Constructs, but there are a couple of artifact creature tribal commanders. There's things like Alibu, Loshiel, Urza Chief Artificer, which is the new pre-con Urza that's going to be coming in Brothers War.
Yeah.
And they also have an advantage in that they are overwhelmingly colorless. So it's not too difficult to, I mean, you can fit them into any deck. You could do Construct Tribal in almost any color identity, which is pretty convenient. So like anytime they print a good Construct Tribal commander, or if you want to use the existing ones, like you don't have to worry about like, oh, this tribal commander is this color, but all my constructs are X color. Not an issue here. But tell us what you think are some of the major barriers to success for the Construct tribe.
Yeah, so constructs are like honestly incredibly cool, right? Like, I think one of the things about constructs is that most artifact creatures like could reasonably be considered as constructs. So they're, as long as it's like a jumble of things put together or like a little robotic man, like you can put Construct on it, it makes flavor sense, and like you can kind of go to town with whatever it's doing. But I think one of the reasons that they're not super high up in this ranking is that they can just put Construct on anything, and a lot of the times it's like a limited overcosted 4-drop or something, you know, like a 2/4 for 4 for a limited environment or something. So a lot of constructs aren't very high power. And being that they're colorless and like you can put them in every deck, they're very, very cautious with most of them. Mm-hmm. So whenever we do get a good construct, it's usually very, very niche. It's something like when Electrostatic Pummeler was like a standard deck or something like that. But as people listening know, like energy is still not a very good thing in Commander right now. So Electrostatic Pummeler is not a standout Commander card. There are some really good ones like Foundry Inspector and things like that. Hangerback Walker is obviously like one of the stronger ones.
Walking Ballista, outlet for infinite mana.
Yeah, Cold Oath of Forge Master. But for every Cold Oath of Forge Master, there's like 7, like, I don't know, marching duo drones. Mm-hmm. Where like it's a 2/2 for 2 when it attacks, everyone gets a treasure. You know, like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too worried about like the bad members of the tribe dragging it down. Cause like, you know, when we do these rank
play them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it got into 20th place on the strength of like its best members. So it's not like too much of an issue, but I do agree that like it's relatively rare when we get good new constructs because they don't want to concentrate a lot of power into a creature type that can traditionally go in any deck.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's actually that's the next point about this is that like because constructs are colorless and they can go in a lot of decks, like people are more looking like their visibility is reduced because of that. So like if you're building an artifact deck, you might end up with a lot of constructs, but like that doesn't mean you're a construct deck. Like you're probably looking at like the broader picture as opposed to the fact that like, oh, well, I can get this loop going with this Rato Sentinel or something like that. You know, like the fact that it's a creature type construct might get like washed out in just the whatever's going on. Your scrap trawler works just as well in a generic artifact deck as it does in any other artifact deck or specifically a construct deck. So
yeah, that's an excellent point. I think there is like literally one construct tribal card as opposed to many, 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 many rewards for running just any artifact. So I think constructs definitely get subsumed into broader artifact decks because like why limit yourself to this creature type for almost no benefit when you can limit yourself to this card type and just get a lot of cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that one kind of makes sense. I think that it's understandable why constructs haven't gotten too much love, but I think that there is still an opportunity here. Like a good construct tribal commander would have a lot of ammunition for it. I think it just has to have the right design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this one is really just I think waiting for as soon as a commander works with constructs like your scrapyard recombiners, your scrap trawler, you know, like all these like really good constructs that people talk about are going to probably get expensive. You're like steel overseers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, not to mention metal worker happens to be a construct.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if it has any colors, like that'll also boost the price of other ones. Like if it's blue, you're like thought monitors and possibly like torrential gear hulks and shit. And stuff. All right, yeah. And other stuff like that are going to go up in price. So that just something in the modern age of Magic to think about. You know, like sometimes a good commander comes out and the market artificially inflates something for a few months and you either got to pay the price or wait until people forget about it. So,
all right. Well, I'm crossing my fingers that Brothers War introduces a sweet construct tribal commander.
Yes, much better than the Peregrine Dynamo or whatever that guy was.
Yes, yeah definitely.
Be a lot better.
all right, I think we can move on to the next creature type. This is a really, really good type. And I think this one's a little bit harder to explain as to like why we're seeing this disparity between the quality of the cards and the ranking of the tribe. But this is Shamans. So Shamans are actually the fifth most powerful tribe if you're counting by the individual EDH rec rankings of the top 30 shaman cards. But in terms of the ranking of the tribe as a whole, they are in 59th place on EDH rec. So really not getting nearly as much love as you would expect given the quality of the cards. But let's talk a little bit about sort of how they're positioned. So they have one supportive commander. It is Sachi, daughter of Sashiro. And this is actually a pretty good commander. We've talked about her in the past. I like her a lot. She's 2GG for a 1/3 legendary creature, Snake Shaman. Other snakes you control get +1/+0. And shamans you control have tap, add green to your mana pool. So that's a pretty significant mana generation ability, especially like if you kind of drop a bunch of shamans in the turns leading up to her and then play her and suddenly got another 6 mana or something to do stuff with. I think she's fantastic, but it is worth noting she has a mono green color identity, but the best shamans are concentrated in green and red and a little bit in black. So unlike, say, druids, there's not quite as good of a match between the power level of the strongest, or rather the color identity of the strongest shamans and the color identity of the one shaman tribal commander that we have. But tell us a little bit more about the barriers to success.
I mean, the shamans have like a few. I think you hit the first one on the head, which is just they're pretty far scattered, right? So you got some pretty good shamans across the board, and they're just, unless we get like a Jund shaman commander, you're going to be leaving stuff out, you know, and even then you're still going to be missing some stuff. Naya had some decent shamans, in the Cabaretti had some shamans you might want to play, like stuff like that. Like, so the first thing is like color identity. Oops. Like, that's going to be tough. The second thing is really just the best shamans in general are red. So if you're in a shaman deck, or they do end up making a shaman commander that like doesn't have red in particular, it's going to feel really bad. Like, you're just going to be missing out on so much. You're like Kiki Jiki, your Flamekin Harbinger, your what's another red shaman that's like really nuts? There's I know there's a bunch of them, but you're like a
Goblin and Archomancer. Did you mention that one?
Goblin and Archomancer. Rage.
That's pretty good.
Caster. What's the one? The 1/3 prowess that everyone plays now.
Harmonic Prodigy.
Harmonic Prodigy. Yes, there you go. Heartless Hitsugu. Like, these are some like really heavy hitting cards that do a lot of work in decks that you can put them in. And if you could put them all in the same deck, it would be pretty good.
Yeah, I will mention Harmonic Prodigy. It does give you shaman tribal effects, but it is itself a wizard.
Oh, it is a wizard. Okay, yeah. Oops, I thought I was a shaman too.
I mean, you would still put it in the shaman deck happily, but
yeah, I would still do that. So that's one thing, just color identity, with the sub caveat of like especially red, you'd especially want one. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is kind of similar to Seton, where like Sachi herself is 18 years old at this point. So again, people probably just aren't looking back that far. And again, when we do get new shamans, they're always role fillers. They're like the Merfolk Mistbinders. They're like Lozan Dragon's Legacy from Baldur's Gate is the 4/2/5 mana flying blue red dragon that deals damage when you cast Adventures and Dragons. Like, not a very shaman-y centric card, you know? So they end up being, because shamans are like a pretty generic kind of creature type, they end up being role players in Limited. They end up like fitting into spaces where like, oh, we want someone who like speaks to ancestors, or someone who's connected to like this wider practicing magic or something like that, you know, like some kind of spiritual magic. So let's put a shaman on it. And then no thought really as like, oh, we've done this a lot of times. Like, maybe we should unite the banner, like put the banner up that we can unite all of these creatures under. So
yeah, it is a good or rather it is it leads me to be optimistic that shaman is like one of the five mage types that they've established. So for those who aren't familiar, essentially like every color has like its kind of mage, and they bleed a little bit sometimes. Like, for example, white has clerics, although that can bleed into black. Blue has wizards that can bleed into red a little bit. Black has warlocks. Red has shamans as kind of its type, although that can bleed into green. Yeah. And then green has druids, which it doesn't really share with anyone. So like, as long as WotC like continues to keep that structure in place of like, these are the five mage types, I think that makes it more likely that in the long term, we're going to see supportive tribal commanders for all of them. So the fact that like two of the types we mentioned on this list are among those five mage types, like, makes me hopeful that shamans and druids will see some more support at some point in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many good ones, and mm-hmm. they just keep printing more. Like Silverback Alder was a shaman. Like,
so
if you can spend the $20 or whatever, $17 on a Silverback Shaman, all of a sudden, boom, something good. And that's not even like going into like the smoke braiders, you know, and stuff like that. I guess smoke bridge is only elementals. Oops. But you know, like Soulbright Flamekins and mana generators that you can do a lot of like tricksy things with. Mm-hmm. So, I guess with that, do you want to move on to this next one? This next one's really cool.
Yes. And you may, this may be a little bit familiar to you as we get into the reasons for why it hasn't been too successful. So next we're going to be talking about Artificers. So in terms of the quality of its cards, the sum of the individual EDH rec rankings for its top 30 members puts it at number 24 of all creature types. So pretty solid. But in terms of the ranking of the tribe on EDH rec, it is in 72nd place. So very far down there compared to where you would think it would end up. And the reason for that is, well, we'll get into that in a second, but currently there are no supportive commanders for Artificers. There's no legendary creature out there that explicitly rewards you for playing this type. And then in terms of color identity of the best Artificers, they tend to be concentrated primarily in blue and red and a little bit in white. But tell us about the barriers to success for Artificers, besides the fact that there just isn't a supportive commander.
Yeah. So, I mean, the biggest one, I think, is just that they're typically just, there's not really a reason to focus on Artificers when there's a reason to focus on artifacts. So Artificers tend to be like eaten up into the artifact decks and not made as visible as the artifacts themselves that they're typically made to bolster. So that's the big one, like visibility on them, pretty low compared to some other tribes. And the fact that like Artificers require artifacts to work is a benefit, I think, in a lot of ways. Like I think that's a cool, flavorful thing. Like it's an AB mechanic that flavorfully makes a lot of sense. But because of that, they like, if you think about like what your favorite Artificer is, like what are you going to say? You're going to, the list is going to be pretty short because you might not realize how many of these creatures are Artificers. Like from the get go, you're going to say like maybe like Arkham Daxon or something, right? And you might say
Goblin Welder.
You might say Blade Splicer, like a Chief Engineer or something. And then like, what is after? like what is the next one that you would talk about? Like maybe you remember like Enthusiastic Mechanaut or Felden of the Third Path, but like, they're not very like headline-y cards often, right? Like they're usually role players.
I don't think I can answer that question too well. I don't think I'm the target audience because I actually just built an artifact deck, and so
yeah.
I know the good Artificers, but yeah, maybe the average person isn't super aware because you're right. It's not like an obvious type because you're not really getting rewarded for it too often.
Yeah, which is you and me definitely know them. I know them all the way down to Mall Splicer and stuff like that. Like I'm sitting here, I'm looking, I'm waiting. But and I think that's another thing that needs to be said. Like Artificers basically exist at this point in all five colors. Like you said, they're concentrated into specifically like blue and red, but like white, as white has gotten more artifact synergies, especially like graveyard reanimation stuff and equipment themes and stuff like that. We keep getting more like Ingenious Smiths. We keep getting low shields, which is a good thing. You know, I think like it's good to have these like loose synergies in different ways, your Oswald Fiddlebenders and whatnot in different colors. So I think that's one of the things that's going to be hardest for an Artificer commander, you know, is the banner that is going to go on. Is it just going to be red, blue? Is it going to be Jeskai? You know, like what is going to be the best color? My guess is Jeskai, but then you're missing out on some pretty cool ones, some like Sly Requisitioners and Painsmiths, you know, like there's some cool marionette masters.
Marionette master is a pretty sick one, yeah.
Yeah, that you're going to miss out on because of that.
Also, you just miss out on some of the good artifacts if you're... Because, like, man, I would... Bolas's Citadel is a pretty compelling artifact.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's true with, like, green, too. Like, you're just... There's no matter what color that we settle on... For or like Wizard settles on, as if I have any say in like what they end up making, but like no matter what colors get settled on for an Artificer Commander, like you're gonna miss out on some stuff or some cool artifacts or a piece of equipment or whatnot, especially now in the age of like they're pretty okay with printing artifacts with colors in their identity. I think that's it for artificers. I think do you want to get into this next tribe and we can kind of do like a review kind of thing?
Talk sure
about, yeah tribes at large.
Okay, so the next tribe and the last tribe we're going to be talking about today is beasts. Yeah. So beasts, if you take the individual rankings on EDH rec for the top 30 beasts, you end up in beasts ends up in 23rd place out of all the tribes. But if you look at the tribes ranking on EDH rec, which is, you know, based of course on the number of decks built around that tribe, it ends up in 53rd place. So significant difference there, I think. And I'll briefly talk about some of the characteristics of the tribe, and then I'll let you take it away with barriers to success. Sure. They do in fact have a supportive commander. Although it's a bit of an oddball, yeah. And that commander is Kahira the Orphan Guard, which is one generic and then hybrid green white, so three mana total for a 3/2 legendary creature cat beast. It has companion, but that doesn't really matter. It has vigilance, and each other creature you control that's a cat, elemental, nightmare, dinosaur, or beast gets +1/+1 and has vigilance. So. It's not just a beast tribal commander. It's also cat tribal, elemental tribal, nightmare tribal, dinosaur tribal. And because it's trying to be kind of something for everyone, I'll let you get into that. It's trying to be something for everyone. And beast is just one of many who are getting boosted by this card.
Yeah. So before we even get into like the things about beasts is that I have a feeling that like if beasts ever do get a supportive commander, that like a lot of the beasts that we see, because a lot of things just kind of default to beast, would absolutely
go. There was a very long period of time where it's just like almost every kind of animal was just a beast.
Yeah. And it's still, and they still tack it on to things like I'll get into that in a second. But so the first big thing about beasts, like they're mostly green. And they're a lot of times like limited end toppers, like curve toppers. So the average mana value of beasts is very large.
Yes.
there's not a lot of like low MV beasts out in the world. The average mana value of the top 30 beasts is 4.9. So like you gotta be able to play things before turn 5 in Commander these days. Like even if you're just setting up, like you got to. It's just not really feasible anymore to sit there for 5 turns. Someone is going to hit you, or like someone's going to trample you with a bunch of snakes or bunnies, or, you know, like something is going to happen. And so you got to get on board a little bit sooner than turn 5 these days. And then something that's like really a big that you kind of hit on with the Kahira thing is like, there just aren't any tribal commanders that are addressing this problem with this tribe. So there are some commanders that are beasts, and there are some commanders that reference beasts, but they don't have anything to do with like helping beasts.
The tribe.
Yeah, the tribe itself. And part of that is because it's really hard to, like, unless you specifically are choosing something like the Naya 5 power greater beasts or something like that. Like, unless you really narrow your focus down, beasts are all over the place, because the Cultivator Colossus is a beast just like Cryptic Annelid from a like Time Spiral block that scries 1/2 and then 3. So like, what do these two things have in common? Well, they're not a normal like creature. They're definitely not a dog or a human or like a cow, you know, like an ox or something. So I guess it's a beast. Like Displacer Kitten is a beast, you know, like, so the tribe itself is so jumbled mechanically about what it's doing, that it is kind of hard to unify them under one thing other than the really obvious, like green, give them trample, which I think would be like the easiest, like uncommon legend version of a beast commander that we would get, you know?
Oh, I just want to see like a commander that helps you ramp him out. Like,
that's... yeah, that would be the like a human from Ikoria that helps your beast cost less or something, or like has some tricksy thing that like if you do this, your beast costs you less this turn or something. That would be like pretty fun and cool, because I think one of the best parts about this tribe is that they have a lot of tribal synergies because they just have a lot of different things they can do, like. You can sit there with like fat beats with your like Hysterions and your Hydroid Crasises and whatnot, or you could like do something kind of tricky. Like a lot of beasts care about spells like Kiln Fiends and whatnot. So there are so many ways that they could take this tribe and like do something cool with it and have multiple types of beast commanders that are building in a specific like niches that let you use certain cards. So I just hope that they start doing that. I really hope that we do end up seeing something that works with beasts a little bit better, helps you cast them a little bit easier, rewards you for putting them in your deck in a way that is like actually good enough to sit down at a table with your friends and not like just feel bad as they get to do stuff and you just are kind of sitting there with your like bad 5 mana 5/5s, you know. So that's beasts in a nutshell. They're like very cool. There's a million of them. They're in all the colors, mostly like green and red, but someone's got to unite the beasts, you know. Something's gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that with the, I mean, given the pace at which they're releasing new commanders, the appetite for new commander designs is very high, and I hope that means that they will address some of these gaps at some point in the future, but we're just here to point them out and pray that we'll get an answer soon.
Yeah, definitely. There's so many things you could do that are so cool with beasts. Like there's so many versions of like stampeding wild beasts, so you could do some cool, like if you imagine there was a beast commander that like made your beast cheaper, and like the things you could do looping these like ETB abilities or whatever. Like there's so many ways to that they could capitalize on this. So I'm just really hoping that they do in fact end up one day capitalizing on beasts and the cool things they can do. But that kind of gets us to the end of the tribes we're going to talk about on this episode. So I guess, looking at this, like, what's something that you would say is stood out to you about the data? Like, why do you think some tribes are like way more popular? Do you think it's specifically like the members? Do you think it's the colors? Do you think it's mechanics? Like, what's your hypothesis there?
So I have a couple guesses. I think that for the most part, you know, the quality of the tribe tracks with the quality of the tribe. Or of the like individual members. Yeah. But you know, it is worth noting that, well, or my theory is that the more options you release for tribal commanders for a tribe, the more popular that tribe is going to be. Like just by the ranking of its members, dragons aren't that, I mean, they're in the top 10, but they're like number 8 or something. But I think part of the reason that they are the most popular tribe on EDH Rec is, well, I mean, it's a little bit of like a positive like feedback loop. but they have a million explicitly tribal commanders. You know, you've got Mirim, you've got the Ur-Dragon, you've got Rivaz of the Claw, you've got Scion of the Ur-Dragon, you've got Lathlis, Dragon Queen, you've got Atarko World Render, you've just got so many options. I'm still not done listing them off. That I think that really does boost the tribe significantly. And so I would hope that at some point Wizards like looks at some of the tribes that have existing tribal commanders and maybe thinks about like, oh, I know we've checked this box, but maybe we could do another crack at it. Maybe we can make something that's even better, or maybe we can just give people different options so that they can explore a different aspect of this tribe. Like some of the tribes we mentioned today that people are kind of sleeping on, you know, like Seton Druids or Sachi Shamans. I think there is room in both cases for more tribal commander options. And maybe part of the reason that the tribes that are doing so well, because like Wizards has taken a couple swings at it. And even if one misses, eventually they'll get a hit that like really explodes the tribe and makes it popular.
Yeah. I'm really expecting like this is what I was hoping a lot of the commander like set booster cards would be, or like things like this. Like I totally get that in a standard set, it's hard to do something like a tribal commander unless like the set is kind of pushed around that. Like it's easy to put a few tribal cards in a set. So like if you look at like Dominaria United, they had the cycle of like the soldier lords and the elf lords and the goblin lords and whatever, because it's for a 60 card. You can play four of them, whatever. It's super easy, but it's hard to be like, here is this commander that deals with a tribe. And then like, they're just, what if there just aren't enough of the tribe in draft to like make it work? Like, so you have like a logistics problem in a standard set, but then we got these like these set booster cards, you know, it's like, okay, cool. We're getting some designs specifically for commander that weren't in the commander set, which is kind of cool and nice. We haven't done that before. So they can be anything. And it's like, oh, wow, anything. This sounds great. And then we get like the Peregrine Engine to bring that up again. Like why? I don't understand like what they're doing. I think some things like the Yoshimaru, or not Yoshimaru, what's the dog, the partner, like, when they do those one-off partners, when
I think
like
it is Yoshimaru. Yeah.
It is Yoshimaru.
Yeah,
like that kind of stuff. Like that's cool. You know, like sometimes they're a hit, or like the Goshintai. Like you just can't really put that in a standard set and it'll do anything. And you can only have so many rares in a standard set that don't do anything for like limited or standard itself. That I think that was a great place to put that. You know, like this was obviously a card that wanted to be printed. Obviously like a tribe that really people liked to play with, and we'd gotten a bunch of new members and stuff like that. So Goshintai, boom, in the set, makes sense. And then compare that to, I don't know, like what were some of the Dominaria United ones? They actually did pretty good with that, because we had Baru, Wormspeaker, Greensleeves.
We had the Archer, Tribal Commander.
The Archer. We had Mihail, the like Merfolk one. So mm-hmm. I guess for the most part, they did pretty good. The Activated Sleeper is weird. Or is that in the set too?
I think that one was in the set.
That one's in the set. Mana Rig, though, that was just the one where you're like...
Oh, wait, actually, hold on. I think you're right. Activated Sleeper was the clone, the thing that died this... Oh, yeah. That was in DMC. Right.
Okay, yeah. So just like... some weird ones, but it's like, why do that? Or like when they're underpowered. Oh, my assumption is that something like Historian's Boon is underpowered. If you have played with Historian's Boon, which is a 4-mana enchantment from DMU Commander, so DMC, it's 3 and a white. When Historian's Boon or another non-token enchantment enters the battlefield, you get a 1/1 soldier, and then whenever you hit the final chapter of a saga, you get a 4/4 white angel with flying. If this has been good for anyone, tell me, because it seems like pretty underwhelming. Like from my, like you could just play what's that one from Confluence and just get a 4/4 off the bat, you know, not wait 3 to Plusterns,
you know, the Sigil of the Empty Throne.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like yeah, yeah. I could play Sigil of the Empty Throne for 5 and get a bunch of flyers instead of this 4-mana one, have maybe some chumps, and then every now and then get a flyer. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It seems not good.
Yeah, we're getting off topic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that, like, I hope that we see more things like the DMC box toppers to fill in some of these archetypes, and just like be able to create new options for commanders that don't really have anything to do with the set and its mechanics.
But yeah, so let us know, like, some of your favorite tribes if you're listening to this. Are there any tribes that you wish had a tribal commander? Are there any tribes that you think are really flavorful that, like, haven't gotten, like, a fair shot? Or is there anything that you wish had, like, a better second shot, you know? Dinosaurs. Like, let us know, and we can... There's pretty much infinite tribal content in Commander. It's such, like, a broad category, and I want to stay up to date on, like, what to look out for in the future, too, you know? So, anytime you talk to us and, like, involve us in your thoughts and feelings and things, that helps the podcast just as much as it might help all of you listening to stuff like this. So,
yeah, I think that we'll definitely return to this data set in the future and other like slices of the format to try to get a view on how tribes are doing in the future. Because, you know, it's a very interesting thing for me. I think it's just a super easy way to inject new archetypes into the format.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's just infinite. There's just, you could have, think of all the different ways you could have, like, a dog commander, you know, or like a cat commander, like, all the flavorful things you could do that would make that fun. So,
oh yeah, I know dogs are so desperate for a new option, but oh, we won't get to that.
Yeah, not popular. You need a few more dogs, you know. Gotta get a few more dogs in there. Anyway, that's it for now. Do you wanna say goodbye to everybody?
Yes. Before we go, I want to give a brief thank you to our Patreon patrons. They are Gustav, Addison, Rick, Raphael, Kyle, Laser, Charlotte, The White Clays, Hannah, James, Logan, Roger, Bryce, Dylan, Benjamin, Jamie, Matthew, Kyle, Brandon, Kevin, Jeremy, Russell, Dylan, Micah, Troy, Roxanne, Charles, Daniel, Andrew, Jason, Paul, Johan, Jonathan, Christian, Jim, Andrea, Vasilios, Logan, Fugabrudel, Carl Oscar, Danny B., Mifflin, Jean-Francois, Drew, Recta, Nick, BJ, Cameron, Valerio, Zach, Quincy, Carrie, Steven, and the Longs. Thank you all for supporting the show, and if you're not currently a Patreon patron but would like to become one, please check us out at patreon.com/commandertheory. Thanks for listening. You can reach out to me on Twitter. I'm at Commander Theory.
And on Twitter, I am at Fat Bartleby.
You can also email us at commandertheory@gmail.com. Our theme song is Lincoln Continental by Nick Cage. You can check him out on SoundCloud.
And if you're interested in some other creative projects I'm working on, I have a band you can check out. We are a pink punk, pop punk band called The Have Nots, all one word, like cosmonauts. You can listen to all of our music for free right now. You can just head over to thehavenots.bandcamp.com. That is thehavnauts.bandcamp.com. And check us out. Let me know what you think.